It's a good possibility that I'll get your attention right off the bat today. I'm going to speak on the subject of election. Election. Now let me read several verses of Scripture. The word elect, God's elect, and election, and elected is in the Scripture several times. But let me read you just a few of them. Now here's the subject, election. That's what I'm going to deal with through the whole program. Bible election. In 1 Thessalonians 1:4, Paul says, "Knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God." In Romans 9:11, it says that the purpose of God, according to election, might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth. It was said to her, "The elder shall serve the younger," that the purpose of God according to election might stand. In Romans 11:5, Paul wrote, "At this present time, there's a remnant according to the election of grace." In 2 Peter 1:10, the apostle says, "Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure." 1 Peter 1:2 says, "We are elect according to the foreknowledge or foreordination of God." Now, there always seems to be so much resentment and misunderstanding in regard to the subject election, or if we preach on sovereignty of God or free grace. When a preacher announces that he's going to preach on the subject election or sovereignty or sovereign grace, we usually get some of the following objections. This is what people often say. They'll say, "Well, really now, why preach on such a profound and controversial subject? Why preach it at all?" Well, the main reason is this, because it's in the Word of God. Now, that's the first reason. You know, the Apostle Paul, when he was leaving the elders from Ephesus, he said, "I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God." So why preach on election? It's in the Bible dozens and dozens of times. Actually, "ye must be born again" is just written there one time in John the 3rd chapter. But the subject election is all the way through the Bible. And then someone else will say, "Well, granted then, election is a truth of Scripture, but shouldn't we keep these deep doctrines back from the people? Just don't give these things to the people and keep them back from the people and leave all these issues to the theologians and scholars and let them settle these things." Well, again, the Apostle Paul said to the elders of Ephesus, he said, "I have kept back nothing profitable unto you." And my friend, this is the religion of the Dark Ages and the Middle Ages, when the common people weren't allowed to have Bibles. The Bible stayed in some library or monastery, and the people just had to take whatever the priest or the preacher, whoever was in charge, whatever he said, they had to take it because they didn't have a Bible. They just couldn't read the Bible. They didn't know anything about what the Bible said. So what he said was fact, they thought. He may be a crook, but they didn't have Bibles. And when they first started printing the Bible in the English language, why, they burned the presses and arrested the men who printed it and put them in jail. They didn't want the common people to have the Bible. And this is evil, to keep back anything from people. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and all Scripture is profitable for doctrine, for correction, for reproof, for instruction in righteousness. Yes, but preacher, aren't some doctrines dangerous? My friends, truth is never dangerous. Truth is never dangerous. The truth will set you free. Christ said you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. It's error that's dangerous. It's certainly not true. But somebody says, "Well, but yes, but if you preach on election and sovereignty, in particular redemption and doctrines like these, don't some people take these things and abuse them and misuse them? They misuse the doctrine of free grace and election. Don't they misuse it, preacher?" Of course they do. Of course they do. But natural men abuse and misuse all good things. What do you think perversion is but a misuse of good things? Homosexuality is a misuse of good things. Intemperance is a misuse of good things. If you destroyed all the good things that men misuse and abuse, you wouldn't have anything left. Can't do away with ropes because folks hang them themselves, can you? You can't do away with knives because some fella cuts his wrist. You can't do away with water because a fella drowned himself. You can't do away with all drugs because some nut becomes a drug addict. So you can't do away with something good because some fool misuses it. And somebody else says, well, some men have taken the doctrine of election to the point of becoming careless and indifferent to holiness. Of course they have. But men always find an excuse for sin. People are going to find an excuse and an alibi for sin. They're going to justify themselves one way or the other. And you have people who say, well, I'm elected to salvation. I'm saved no matter what I do, so let's do whatever I want to do. Well, the sun that shines in the sky, that same sun will ripen a smelly old weed as well as ripen a tomato vine. But the fault's not in the sun, it's in the nature of the vine. The nature of that old smelly weed is to be evil. And the nature of that tomato vine is to produce a sweet fruit. And the same sun makes both of them grow. And I've heard people say, well, if you believe and preach election, it'll kill missionary zeal. It'll kill evangelism. It'll kill soul winning. Now, you hold on. The Lord Jesus Christ taught election. He said, all that my Father giveth me will come to me. And him that cometh to me I'll in no wise cast out. And our Lord came down here to die for sinners. You've never died for a sinner. Our Lord said, I pray not for the world. I pray for them whom thou hast given me. John 17. He said, the Father has given me all power over all flesh that I should give eternal life to as many as he gave me. That's election. And yet he died for sinners. He loved sinners. The Apostle Paul was the greatest missionary who ever lived. He preached election. He said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath chose us in Christ from the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. He said, brethren, beloved, I thank God for you, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation. And he said, I endure all things for the elect's sake. I go to jail, I'm beaten and scourged and shipwrecked. I do all these things for the elect's sake, that they might come to knowledge of God. That's a sovereign grace preacher who was the greatest missionary to ever live. And I could go on telling you about Carey, the missionary, grace man from the top of his head to the sole of his feet, Judson, Spurgeon, Whitfield, Luther, Calvin, Zwingli, Huss, Knox, keep naming them. They all preach the same thing I'm preaching to you. Yeah, but can't you preach election too much? I don't hear it preached at all. Somebody says, well, you can preach it too much. Of course you can, but I don't hear it preached at all. And I know proportion is beauty. Proportion is beauty. We preach the word proportionately. We preach it as we come to it. Preach it as we come to it. But I never apologize for preaching the word of God. I never apologize for preaching the truth. People can get angry. They can quit. They can do what they want to do. But I'm not a man pleaser. I wasn't sent by men. I was sent by God. I wasn't sent to preach what men want to hear. I was sent to preach what God has written in this book. And election's in the Word of God, and I'm going to preach it. And if you listen to me preach, you're going to hear it. I'm going to preach God's sovereignty and man's responsibility. I'm going to preach election, and I'm going to preach the duty of every sinner to come to Christ. I'm going to preach that the gospel is a command. God commands men to repent. He commandeth all men everywhere to repent. It's a commandment of Almighty God. Well, just exactly, preacher, what is the doctrine of election? All right. Will you take your Bible and turn with me to the book of 2 Thessalonians, chapter 2, verse 13. I'm going to take one verse of Scripture, one verse, and talk to you about what is the doctrine of election. Now, here in this one verse, the Apostle Paul says, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13, but, he says, we're bound. we're bound to give thanks to God. Always for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation, through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. Now, first of all, election is a cause for praise. It's not a hated doctrine, it's a beloved doctrine. It's a doctrine of praise. When you find one of the apostles or the writers of Scripture, or even our Master, speaking about election, it's usually preceded by a word of praise. Like in Ephesians, Paul said, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus, who hath chosen us in Christ before the foundation of the world." In other words, praise God. Praise God who chose us. And here in this verse, he says, we're bound to give thanks. We're bound to give thanks. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. If he had not chosen us, we would never have chosen him. Isn't that correct? If he had not chosen us, we would never have chosen him. And so I'm thankful. I praise God. I thank God for the doctrine of election. I thank God for the truth of election. I thank God for the fact that God chose some people. Had he not chosen some people, there'd be nobody in glory. And then secondly, election is not only a cause for praise, but election is based on love. Listen to what Paul said. I'm bound to give thanks to God. To whom? To God. It originates with God. I'm bound to give thanks to God for you, beloved of the Lord. Beloved of the Lord. You know, when those two sisters, Mary and Martha, sent word to the Lord Jesus that Lazarus was sick, how did they word that? You think for a moment. They didn't say to the Lord, "He who loves you is sick." They said, "Lord, he whom thou lovest is sick." And here Paul is wording this right. The Holy Spirit is inspiring him to write this like it ought to be said. He said, "I'm bound to give thanks to God for you, beloved of the Lord." Beloved of the Lord. Herein is love, not that we love God, but he loved us. He loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. We love him because he loved us. He doesn't love us because we love him. We love him because he loved us. Not that we love God, but that he loved us. Election is based on love. God's everlasting love. He said, "I've drawn you with an everlasting love." And then election, thirdly, is eternal. From this same verse, he said, "I'm bound to give thanks to God for you, beloved of the Lord, because he hath from the beginning chosen you." Whoa, let me ask you a question or two. Did you choose God or did he choose you? Now think for a moment. Did you choose God or did God choose you? Well, Christ said to his disciples, "You didn't choose me, I chose you." Well, when did God choose you? Now, when did God choose you? Well, the Bible said he chose us from the beginning. Known unto God are all his works from the beginning. He declares the end from the beginning. See what I'm saying? So this thing of election is not only a doctrine of praise and a doctrine of love, it's an everlasting doctrine. This covenant is an everlasting covenant. The Lamb was slain before the foundation of the world. The book was written before the foundation of the world. That's what the Word of God said. That's what God's Word declared. Why did God choose you? Have you ever thought about that? Why? Were you better than someone else? The Bible says all have sinned. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. None good, no, not one. The Scripture says he chose us according to the good pleasure of his own will. And that's the only answer you can give. And then election, fourthly, is, unto salvation. Now watch that verse again. We're bound to give thanks always, always to God. for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning, from all eternity, chosen you to salvation. Election is unto salvation. Election is not salvation. It's unto salvation. He chose us to save us. By grace are you saved through faith. Not apart from it. Not without it. Through faith. We're kept by the power of God through faith. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. He that believeth on the Son hath life, but he that believeth not the Son of God shall never see life. A man's not saved simply because he's elected. Christ was elected to be our surety and our Savior, right? He's called mine elect. When God speaks of him in the Old Testament, my servant, mine elect. But he still had to die. Even though he was the lamb slain before the foundation of the world, in the mind and purpose of God Almighty, in God's decree, he still had to die for our sins. And even though we're chosen unto salvation, and we are elected by God to be redeemed, we have to believe. Hear the gospel and believe. And watch this. This brings me to the next point. Election always looks to the means of grace. He said, we're bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because we thank God because God hath from the beginning chosen you individually. Somebody said, well, he chooses nations. Nations are made up of people. Individuals. Chosen you to salvation through or by the means of sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. You see, God ordained the end. God ordained the end, declared the end from the beginning. But God also ordained the means. And those means are the Word of God and the Holy Spirit and the preaching of the gospel. It's the Holy Spirit who quickens. We're born of the Spirit of God. We're begotten of the Spirit of God. You hath He quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin. We're called by the Spirit of God. But the Word of God is the seed of life. He said, of His own will begat He us. You know what begetting is? That's bringing forth a son. Begetting, siring a son, making life to be there. And God hath begotten us of His own will. He beget us. This is in James 1:18. Of His own will beget He us with the word of truth. You see, we're begotten. This is 1 Peter 1:23. We're begotten again. We're born again, not of corruptible seed. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, but of incorruptible seed by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. The Holy Spirit quickens, regenerates, and it's the word that gives life. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. You say, but will the elect come? Yes, they will. My sheep hear my voice. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. They follow me. My sheep hear my voice. They follow me. Psalm 110, verse 3 says, thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. John 6:37, our Lord said, all that my Father giveth me shall come to me. And him that cometh to me I'll in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do my will. The Son never acts independently of the Father. They're one. I came to do the will of Him that sent me, and this is the will of Him that sent me, that of all which He hath given me, I'll lose nothing, but raise it up at the last day. And this is the will of Him that sent me, that everyone that seeth the Son and believeth on Him hath everlasting life. So it's through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. And this doctrine of election always looks to the means. Always. Our election is known by our calling. He said, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. That's how a man knows his election is by his calling. I can't know something that doesn't exist. And if God's Spirit lives in me, I know He's there. And I know God sent Him. And I know God sent Him on purpose. And I know God sent him on purpose because he decreed to do it. If I love Christ, I know he loved me first. You see, the Bible does not say, ho, everyone that's elected, come to the water. It says, ho, everyone that thirsteth. The Bible does not say, come unto me, all ye who are elect. It says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. And if a man's laboring and heavy laden under sin and sees there's no salvation in himself and no ability or power within himself to redeem himself, and he comes to Christ, he knows he's one of God's elect because he came. The Bible doesn't say he that's elected hath eternal life. It says he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. The Bible doesn't say whosoever is elected shall be saved. It says whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. We know our election by our calling. The Apostle Paul wrote an epistle to this church at Thessalonica. Two of them, 1 Thessalonians and 2 Thessalonians. And in the first epistle, the very first chapter, the apostle said this. He said, knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. I know you're one of God's elect. I know you're some of God's elect. I know that you people down there in that church are the elect of God. And then he tells us how he knows that they are the elect of God. You know what he said? Well, read it yourself. Turn there. Take your Bible. Turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 4. You got it? 1 Thessalonians 1, 4. Paul says right there in verse 4, knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. And then verse 5, he says, far, because our gospel came not to you in word only. It wasn't just an essay or a theory or a written creed or just a bad sermon. It came to you in power. Our gospel came to you in power, in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance. That's how my gospel came. In your hearts you believed it. It broke your heart, convinced you of sin, brought you to know Christ. Look at verse 6. And you became followers of us and the Lord. You became followers. That's how I know you're one of God's elect. Look at verse 7. And you became examples to people in Achaia and Macedonia and all around there. They looked at your lives and saw that you'd been with the Lord. And verse 8 says, and you became missionaries and witnesses. From you sounded forth the word of God into all areas. Say, somebody says, well, election will kill a missionary zeal. Didn't kill these people. Paul said, I know you're one of God's elect because you're out preaching the gospel. You're out witnessing. You're out telling men about Christ. That's how you know you're one of God's elect. And then he said in verse 9, and you turn from your idols to serve the living God. And verse 10 says you're waiting for his Son from heaven. Oh, let me close this with a question. What are some of the effects of the doctrine of election? What effect does it have on me and on you? If you see it as the Scripture teaches it, if you believe it as the Word of God presents it, if you believe it in such a way as to give God all the glory and salvation from Alpha to Omega, I'll tell you what it'll do. First of all, it'll bring joy to your heart. Our Lord Jesus said, I thank thee, Father, Lord of heaven and earth. You hid these things from the wise and prudent, but you revealed it to babes. Psalm 65, David said, blessed, happy, twice happy is the man whom thou choosest. Psalm 65, 4. Blessed is the man whom thou choosest, and causeth to approach unto thee, that he may dwell in thy house and in thy courts. He's happy. Secondly, this doctrine glorifies God. Look at 1 Corinthians 1:26. You see your calling, brethren? Not many mighty, not many noble, not many wise are called, but God hath chosen the foolish to bring to naught the things that are, to confound the wise. God hath chosen the base, the despised things, yea, the things that are not, to bring to naught the things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. He that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. This doctrine brings glory to God. Moses said, Lord, show me your glory. He said, I'll be merciful to whom I will be merciful. I'll be gracious to whom I will be gracious. This doctrine promotes humility. 1 Corinthians 4:7, Paul said, "Who made you to differ? What do you have you didn't receive? Now, if you received it, why do you glory as if you didn't receive it? Who made you to differ?" Then it gives comfort in hard trials. The Word says all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose. Tell you another thing, gives confidence and assurance. Read Romans 8:29-31. Whom He foreknew, He predestinated to be conformed to the image of His Son. Whom He predestinated, He called. Whom He called, He justified. Whom He justified, He glorified. What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Who can lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies. Who can lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It's God that justifies. Well, that gives assurance, comfort in hard trials, confidence. And it gives you comfort to die by. You know what David's last words were before he died? "God made with me an everlasting covenant, and this is all my salvation and all my desire." And I'll tell you another thing. To know that God loved me when I was unlovely, it'll help me to love those who also unlovely. I'll show mercy as I've received mercy, and be gracious as God's been gracious to me.